Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today to encourage you on this Friday is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And the one who lives on the edge of many prophecies coming to pass anytime soon. Yes, I'm talking about the Hudson River, John Ramos.
Hello.
How are you doing? We are here to encourage you. We'll be talking about a meteorite that strikes Russia last night. 33,000 miles an hour, it lands right on a nuclear weapons plant of all the places to hit from the Cold War days. We're going to be talking about drones now are being prepared to be used in the United States. They're preparing 6 test sites to be able to fly over Pat's house to find out what he really is doing between the, not the cherubim and the seraphim, but between the and the Carnival Cruise Line has landed. 4,000 people have their feet on the ground, and they're pressure washing the boat as we speak with sanitizing products. We'll be talking about that and so much more. Hopefully get a chance to be able to share with you about fruitless wonders. Are we fruitful or are we fruitless wonders for God? And so many things. The top 3 from the VFN Torch. And how farming around the world is beginning to decrease. NASA said last night, water is going to become the new oil. Water is going to become the new oil.
Wow.
Makes you want to drink it, don't it?
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio. We are here to encourage you, to let you know God's news behind the news, to be able to give you a now prophetic word. You're listening live to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, no, here we are. Here we are right now on Friday as NASA's declaring, as we speak, right after a meteor, in the same time a meteor was headed to the world at 33,000 miles an hour, that water is going to become the new oil. You know, you look at oil and the price of oil and the control of oil and the fights and the wars over oil, and think about all that dimensional understanding of, mm-hmm. you know, many wars have been fought over oil.
Right.
And the last letter written by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt 7 days prior to his death was over oil, when he said, "I'll cut a deal with you, Saudi, and Israel will never become the nation that they're wanting to become." And then 7 days later, he dies. It was over oil.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, his predecessor said, "This is right. This is what my grandmother taught me." And he signed in 1948 for Israel to become a nation. He agreed with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about that. We've been so blessed, and God's always, you know, as he began to speak to me over the years, how precious water is. You know, Jared going down to, my son going to Haiti, he got a chance to really experience what it's like to have to purify your water and these different things. And basically, he drank bleach the whole time he was there helping out an orphanage.
Mm. Wow.
And it's like the things you have to do to be able to have water that you can drink, but to be able to have water in general. And they're calling it growth of the population growth and, you know, famines and things they're talking about. And so they're going to start guarding it, protecting it, allocating it, you know, all these different things. And I'm thinking like, man, that's what God told us.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And he told us very specifically this was going to happen. And of course, when he first tells you and it's far out from it, you just go, okay, I'm just going to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to write it down, what he said, and just let it be, let it speak for itself. But they said last night, I was actually trying to find a live feed of the asteroid coming into the world. It came in last night, probably around 9 p.m. Central, 10 Eastern, into our atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find it, and I found this thing on Ustream. It says, what it was,
I'm thinking, here it goes. It's fixed to go. And it was a countdown is all it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, and then the countdown finished. It says, it now has entered our atmosphere. That was it. It was just a countdown. You know, it's been in our atmosphere for 30 seconds. I'm like, run outside, Donna, run. We got to catch this thing. And, but while I was doing that, NASA, I got a NASA feed. And the NASA feed, that's what they said. That oil is going to become, water is going to become the next oil in regards to how we see it. So I want to encourage you. I mean, some of the statements that that's been said over this in recent history is whoever has the biggest straw wins.
Mm.
Whoever has the biggest, longest, deepest straw into water is the one that will win, because they're going to sell water for the price that you sell oil for.
Right.
They're the ones. It's just amazing.
Wow.
It is amazing. And it's, you know, we've just been so blessed for so long that we don't think about in our day-to-day life what so many other people on the face of the earth go through.
Mm.
You know, you see, you know, the wells for life and drilling these wells for villages and all that. They don't have any.
Yeah.
People are dying probably more from unclean water than anything else, and then the lack of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like when he says, when I send famine, if you repent, and it's like, you know, let's just, while we have running water, let's just do what's right. I mean, I know it's, you know, it's kind of unrealistic. I think, you know, you want to hope that people go, you know, you're right. I'm going to stop sinning, and I'm going to stop doing these things, and I'm going to stop being deceived. And okay, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead. It's like, you know, you really want, I mean, if you raise kids, you know, you want this to be true, but then you go like, oh, you're just going to have, it's just going to come to the discipline, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, God disciplines those he calls sons. And you can kind of almost say that we're going to have some behavior molding seasons coming up. But I just want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, you know, think about, you know, provision for water for your family and for your neighborhood and your community. There's different ways that you can do that. And what an awesome thing to be able to tell your neighbors that you heard a word from the Lord and you prepared, and no matter what was happening in your community, your neighborhood was able to, because of God, was able to have a glass of water, you know, flush a toilet, you know, different things.
This is important.
How important water is.
Yeah, we had a lot of training on the Gulf Coast area when all the hurricanes came.
Right.
That you totally don't appreciate plumbing until you don't have it.
Huh.
When there's no water, there's really no plumbing.
That's right.
And they found that out when they were on this ship. You know, and we'll talk more about this cruise ship, Carnival. But I first want to talk about, you know, and CBN News reports that this meteor came in. Really, it was daytime in Russia. It was in daytime. And we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch where you can watch it come. They're riding on the road, and they're videoing out of their front windshield. You see this ball of fire just pass over the road. And it's traveling at 33,000 miles an hour, breaking the sound barrier, and the booms are happening, and windows are going bam, bam out of all these buildings as it's going by. And it just explodes into the earth. As a matter of fact, listen up right now. CBN News reports.
And I'm Charlene Israel.
And I'm Ephraim Graham. A meteorite burst through the atmosphere over Russia, injuring hundreds of people. It happened in Siberia and was actually captured on video. On top of that, a big asteroid is hurling through space today, about to miss planet Earth by a cosmic inch. Mark Martin has the story.
Check out this incredible video. Car dashboard cameras and phones captured video of the meteorite, a blinding flash of light streaking across the sky, and then chaos as fragments slammed into the ground. Witnesses say they thought a war had broken out. The meteorite shattered windows and damaged buildings. It knocked down a wall at this zinc factory. The Russian government confirms more than 400 people were injured, mostly from broken glass. The Russian Academy of Sciences estimates the meteorite weighed about 10 tons and entered the Earth's atmosphere at a speed of at least 33,000 miles per hour. Scientists say the meteorite was not related to an asteroid that will fly dangerously close to Earth today. A chunk of space rock big enough to level a city is hurtling towards our planet 8 times faster than a speeding bullet. Scientists say the asteroid will zoom past Earth at over 17,000 miles per hour and only 17,000 miles from Earth. The 130,000 metric ton asteroid called DA-14 is the size of half a football field and it will be much closer than the moon. It will travel between Earth and the roughly 600 satellites around us, possibly even smashing one to bits on its way by. The last direct impact from an asteroid came in 1908. It hit in the middle of Siberia, decimating 1,000 miles of trees, but fortunately no people.
I think the big story is that we saw this a year ahead of time. So we're in an era now that we have good enough observatories, we have observing programs that can actually see asteroids that might hit the Earth long before they approach.
The asteroid is too dim to see with the naked eye, so scientists will use ground-based telescopes to observe DA-14. Mark Martin, CBN News.
That's so amazing. The I thought that was actually the DA-14.
The asteroid.
Yeah, and actually it was just a meteor. It was the size of a bus versus this thing that's passing by today passing by. It's actually half of a football field. This one that we just saw on the video that you can see on the torch today, go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. You can see firsthand that's just the size of a bus. Now imagine the size of a cruise ship, which is half the size of a football field. And coming this meteorite was traveling at 33,000 miles an hour. Wow. And it was blowing windows out.
Mm.
And it's going to miss us, they say, by 17,000 miles. Well, understand this. I've jumped out of an airplane at 10,000, right? 10,000.
10,000 feet.
Oh, maybe.
Feet.
I was like, dude, I could have been hit. I was wondering why the air was so thin, you know? It's like, oh my goodness, that's just like 7 more inches. Dude, that was just a meteor. It wasn't even the real deal.
I know it. I know it.
And we're just assuming it's not going to hit us.
Right.
And of course, if anybody's talked to Pat, I mean, he's all into signs and
and
blunders. He's like, something's going to hit us hard. It's going to be bad. But you know that when...
Satellite, sure, at least.
Well, when Jim Baker...
25,000 out.
Remember when Jim Baker took a sabbatical and he was focused on, you know, God gave him a sabbatical and he just focused on the Lord and the Gospels and Revelation, that God just totally gave him 33 words for prophetic words, and 32 of them have already come to pass, and one more is left to come. But another thing that came out of that was he just came out just, and of course we've heard this quite a few times, but 32 out of 33 came to pass. Was this meteor is going to be hitting the Earth. At some point, a meteor is going to be hitting the Earth.
Oh, wow.
And
forgot about that one. Well,
yeah. And it's called Nephilim. No, it's not called Nephilim. But really, I mean, it makes sense in the context when you look how things are taking place. But this thing's traveling. This is like remember the word was a warning shot fired over the bow.
Mm-hmm.
And how one entire city could be 1,000 miles in the Sahara, 1,000 miles of forest was destroyed. Well, imagine a city's only, what, you know, 20, 30 miles, 40 miles. I mean, you're looking at it could go all the way from all the way across Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It could wipe out the panhandle. You know, it could go slash right through the United States. You know, it could take out California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. This thing was just 30. This thing was just the size of a bus. But this DA-14 or whatever meteor is the size of a half of a football field, and is passing today. But these things came together, so I was thinking that was it.
Yeah.
And of course, cool. CBN News clarified that. But the that means that these little meteorites can break off that meteor and all of a sudden hit the gravitational pull of the Earth and start coming down to Earth. My goodness.
Interesting.
Did you see that guy? You can go to the torch and see this. The guy that rode a balloon to Red Bull. Did a spot. They did a commercial where this guy rides the balloon all the way.
Skydiver dude?
Yeah, and he rides the balloon all the way up to, I don't know what
like stratosphere or something. It was way up there.
Yeah, I don't know how many thousands of feet up it was.
High.
Yeah, but the Earth, you can see it was like a small round circle.
Yeah, it was like a dot.
And then he jumps out of it. He just kind of leans forward. And then his spacesuit kind of got turned color. Anyway, he just begins to fall. And then he gets a spin, like out of control. And they thought it was over for him. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
At some point, he was able to steady himself. and he lived. But you can see this on the torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and watch that and just see. I mean, he was up in that area. I mean, I don't know. You can see when you go there what thousands of feet he was at. But that's just so amazing that, you know, that these things are happening. Life is so fragile. But when you think about when the towers fell and they came to Jesus and they said, what does this mean? Does it mean that these guys were bad or whatever, or their blood was mixed? It's all these different theories. And Jesus basically was saying, no, this is a lesson plan for you, that life's not forever. And you have to make a choice what you're going to do in this life. Are you going to repent or you're not going to repent? And if you don't repent, you know, he says it's over for you. And this should be a lesson plan to us, that these, you watch, when you go to see, you'll see also on the torch under related articles to that, CBN News has a segment of all that with the meteorites coming over, and they show somebody on the streets, they show somebody teaching school, they show somebody in their home, and it shows all these different people living their day-to-day life like it was just normal, and all of a sudden windows just start blowing out and things start shaking, and a hockey player that's a Canadian hockey player that's actually living there right now, he hit a snooze button like 9 minutes later. All of a sudden, everything just started. They just thought it was a war.
Wow.
And it hit the nuclear, it hit the Cold War nuclear plant where they make all these bombs and stuff. And it's just amazing. Just totally, totally amazing. Well, did you hear about the cruise ship?
I did.
60 miles.
4,200 people?
60 miles from the studios. It came in. It came in near about 60 miles from the studio last night. 4,000 people. 4,000 people. And what they what we saw was that how important water, plumbing, and electricity is. And the moment it shuts down, human beings become toxic. Because they said immediately waste began to come down the walls and the floors. They couldn't use it to plumbing. Oh, wow. They couldn't cook any food. They were giving them bags and buckets, and they would put the buckets and the bags out in the hallway. It was such reeking of all those bad smells. They were getting sick. So they had to go to the deck, and it was like, refugees coming, cause all these sheets were set up on the deck like tents, and they were staying up there until it got too cold. And, they were eating like cucumber and onion sandwiches because you couldn't cook nothing.
Wow.
Oh,
and yeah, it was just really, really, really rough. And then, of course, you're looking at immediately E. coli's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Because the plumbing's just, you know, you tell people don't use plumbing, but you got 4,000 people. And if you've ever been on a cruise ship.
Yeah. I was actually on that same ship.
Oh, were you?
That was the same one.
Well, you think about it. You go on a cruise. If you've ever been on, the first thing I remember the first time I ever went on one of these cruises, it took a long time for things to kick off or something. I looked at Don and I go, I am so hungry. There's nowhere to get nothing to eat
on the ship.
Yeah, well, I hadn't started yet.
That was his first time on a cruise.
Yeah. And so then imagine how much food they feed you. And then they say, do not
use. Oh, my God.
Don't use
it. Yeah, it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's just like, that was amazing that they made it through that. But it's all the way from Sunday to Thursday night. It's like, we can send a man to the moon, but we cannot go out and put another ship beside them, put a brow up, and have them come over to that ship.
Yeah,
and the CEO of Carnival Cruise Lines was at a Miami Heat game on the, like watching the game while they were out there floating in the water.
I heard about
that.
You think about, you know, at a time like that, you want to see the CEO on a commercial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just like,
we're doing everything we can to help you.
You know, I guess he thought they didn't have TV or anything out there, so they wouldn't know that he was there, but they didn't realize somebody would say something. So, of course, once they started getting off the boat, I was watching the interviews last night with local television, you know, out interviewing them, and they're saying how dangerous it was. Smoke began to fill their rooms and come around because there was a fire in the engine. The boat began to tilt sideways. They began to think about, you know, Titanic and how quickly it sunk in 2 hours, and they're going through all these. They begin to form prayer groups. You know, people begin to talk about, you know, we got to pray and ask God not this boat wouldn't go down.
Right.
And that's all these things they were going through while he was at the Miami Heat game.
Wow.
And they're and we think about it. Wow. It's just, you know, sewage, smoke, fire, tilting of your ship like it's going to go down, and nobody's going out there just hooking them up and bringing them on in. It takes them always Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, late Thursday night, to be able to get them in. Unsanitary, no showers, no cleaning, and all
and
that Small
and
area.
That's what we know right now.
Right.
No telling what occurred with lawlessness and stuff. People going crazy because they didn't have these basic things.
Well, they did talk about that as well, but we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, you know, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, you know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do it on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my Father's the gardener, and he is the vine, and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it is, you know, it seems totally impossible, that it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamie and I'm from Texas. And I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what would we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following him? If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jamie?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. He hasn't. It's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it with an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me, of course, is Pat and John.
Wow. Thank you for joining us back here in the first hour. We were talking about water. Water being
aqua,
the new
agua.
Oil.
Agua.
Amazing. Well, I don't know if you guys heard this. The Blazers reporting that Glenn Beck was having an interview with Jim Rogers about farming. And I had no idea, but they're saying that farming now is basically becoming a lost art. They said nobody wants to farm anymore. And they were talking about the average age of farmers in America. You know, the average age of a farmer is only 58 years old. It's like, wait a minute, what is going on? 58. 50 is the average age. And in Japan, it's 66. In Canada, it's as well really high. And in Australia, it's 58. And somebody's got to work these fields. And what they don't understand is that although that there's such a lack of interest in farming, the farm values are going up. And it's still obviously there's a lot of profit still involved in farming. People are making a lot of money, but there's no interest. And one of the things that Jim Rogers, this investor, was talking about, he was saying that these days, the students right now in college, they want to go out and get MBAs. And he's telling them, you need to get into study agriculture. You need to get in there and learn about this farming because that's where the money's going
to
be at.
You need to get a FARM, not a MBA.
Exactly. Exactly. They said in the next 10 to 20 years, you're going to see it just absolutely explode. And I just think about some of the prophecies that we have heard about roads being broken up, streets being digged up, be able to plant gardens.
Yeah, it was John Paul Jackson's word in Preparing for the Storm. The headlines, and this is how God spoke to him at that time. You can see it at VFNTV.com. Scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see a banner called The Storm, and it has all the information that you need on this. It's very important. It's the coming storm.
Yeah.
And one of the headlines was, in the inner city, they're digging streets up to be able to plant gardens. And you always wonder what it was like, you know, up until the time when you're starting to see these things happen. And it's like, I see what it's like. Nobody's paying attention. Oh, my goodness. Because you could pay attention in turn. You know, you could pay attention like Nineveh did. And
what
listen.
Were the warning signs? What were the warning signs?
Yeah, and a warning is saying, hey, you know, don't go that way. You know, turn back to God.
Yeah.
And it's happening so rapidly. The encouraging thing is there's about to be a move of God.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether religion likes it or not, there is about to be a major move of God. They're talking about, and I don't mean to interrupt you right there, but they're saying that a major issue now with the millennials, that 84% of them are I think it's 84%. They have a thing called, not 84%, digital addiction is a new phenomenon that psychiatrists are actually diagnosing teens with and young adults with, where they're spending 60 hours a week engaged in some kind of media, and it's having this long-term effect, you know, where we're at. So imagine that shutting down like you're talking about, and all of a sudden, you know, 60 hours of their life is now, what do you do? That's the only life I knew was this virtual life.
And not wanting to learn anything. I mean, we talked about this right after the Super Bowl on VFN Radio about the commercial that was played with Paul Harvey about the farmer.
And, oh, yeah.
And this is amazing. All the hard work that's being done. And it's like, you know, no, I don't want to work a farm. I think I'd rather own a farm. But it was like the chances are they did statistics. They don't have the number how many people graduating now from college are even going to be able to find employment, much less an MBA, and the cost of college right now. And it's like, you know what? We need to learn some practical things like garden, you know what I'm saying? How to feed ourselves. I know Pat had an adventure with building a garden. Not as easy, was it?
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, that I remember that history lesson.
Yeah, that was rough.
Well, you know,
I learned a lot, though.
Well, one of the things that Pat's wife, Tracy's grandfather, mm-hmm. God showed him very specifically what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And it's going to get to the point. There's just, you got to understand, if everybody, and notice when on this cruise ship, for example, it was 44,000 plus people on mm-hmm. it. There was limited space, limited food, limited utilities, and like, and so at some point, you know, their ability to get something to eat or whatever stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now imagine your city or your county or whatever. And how many deer do you see running down your street that you can eat? How many cows did you see, you know, in your county? Pretty much they're regional, where you have parts of America that raise the cattle, that milk the cows, that have these different, you know, they say that the food that you eat that's on your table, I think, was prepared within 300 miles. It came from around 300 miles or something of your home. Well, you're not going to be able to get to those 300 miles away during a time like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you run out. And that's what Barkley was shown was that he was teaching his family how to hunt and fish, but they ran out. It quickly ran out of anything to hunt for.
Wow.
And with the regulations coming on, I mean, you look where they're looking, trying to regulate how we can fish and what we would break the law if we were fishing. It's like, oh, this is amazing, you know, what's taking place. And I think about that tribute, you're talking about the farmer. Let's listen right now to Paul Harvey and what John's talking about. We'll be right back.
Well, he talked about something about, you know, there was a time that you didn't have a drill. Uh-huh. And you actually, you know, screw the thing in with your hand, you know, with the fill up. Twisted the screw with the nut.
Yeah, those were awful days.
Well, you did it with your hand and muscles. And I think about all the people that work so hard, man. They work so hard in our nation to build it the way they have. And
that's right.
And listen to that commercial. We're gonna play a commercial here for you. And we're gonna apologize for the sound in advance because it's not the best quality of sound. But we really want you to listen to the words. This is Paul Harvey. And Pat's a little bit more familiar with Paul Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
And he kind of does this little talk about the farmer and tell us about Paul. Who's Paul Harvey?
Yeah, he was a conservative radio host. He's been around for years and years and years. And he passed away, I think, back in 2009. But prior to that, I got introduced to him through my grandmother. She was listening to him on the radio all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he'd go through these long, like, stories, and they were really, you know, just intriguing. And
right.
Then his famous line was, "Now let's hear the rest of the story." So he just like this cliffhanger, you know, you talk about this person, you know, and
yeah.
all these things that they did or whatever. And then you find out who it actually was. You're just like blown away. Like, no, get out. Really? You know, so it was just, he's famous for that. You probably search him online. I'm sure you could probably listen to tons of his stories. But yeah, they were powerful.
Wow. Well, he has a great voice. And this is actually a Rams commercial, right?
Yeah.
That
a Dodge
play.
Ram car commercial. Yeah.
Okay. Truck commercial. I want you to listen up and listen to what he has to say about the American farmer. Listen up.
"And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, 'I need a caretaker.' So God made a farmer. God said, 'I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board.' So God made a farmer. God said, 'I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then pain in from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer."
Wow. How powerful is that?
Yeah, that was amazing.
How powerful is that? We're going to make this available for you to watch on the torch. It's actually a commercial.
Yeah.
And the pictures are just so moving.
It is so amazing. And you think about without the farm and where things are coming from. How far away, if like we sit down and have a meal in our home, we don't realize the food doesn't really come from our particular community. Where does it come from? How far away?
It's estimated that it travels 1,500 miles to get from where it needs to get to, from farm to plate, basically. From
1,500 miles, which means this is like the Lord showed Mr. Barkley that we're not going to have that food in our immediate area to be able to access it. And you can you hunt your land out so quick. I mean, this cruise, and this is a meteors flying over. You got those huge things happening. You have 4,000 people that stuck without utilities, water, and all that. And how quickly this thing just kind of come to a grind. It just stops. And then disease begins to happen. And they did say, by the way, as you were talking about, there were some people on there that got really angry about.
Oh, really? Imagine.
Yeah, and they were really upset, and they said, you know, a typical American traveler. And so the reporter goes, "What does that mean? You know, things like, my coffee's not hot."
Demanding stuff, huh?
Yeah, demanding stuff at times that are real difficult. I mean, that's what they said, unquote, you know, reportedly.
All right. I was thinking about, and I was reading this, and I want to look up the scripture here for a second, but I was reading about there was a famine in the land, and the Israelites, and they had to go during Egypt, and they were going to get grain. Pat, you and I were talking about this the other day. They were selling, so they go and they're trying to get grain from Egypt, and so they say, okay, sell us some grain, so they give them the money. And then they come back and they say, we're starving, take our livestock, and we'll give you livestock, you give us a grain. They're like, okay, we'll give you the grain, give us the livestock, give you the grain. So they go back for a period of time. Then they come back again and says, we are still starving. We need grain. And the people come up with, just take our land, take all we have, and make us servants. We'll be servants. Just give us food. And I was like, okay, we'll take your land. We'll make you servants, and we'll feed you. And it's like, oh, my goodness, there's a progression where even if you had the money, money's not going to, you know, if everything stops, it's not going to last forever. So then you begin to barter. Okay, give you a couple of this for some corn. But what happens when you can't barter? You know, we have to have a dependency upon the Lord. And we can't be prideful to say that we can't have a famine. I mean, look at all the drought that was occurring just this last summer alone.
Well, it looks like if somebody 1,500 miles away had a famine, and we never did, we wouldn't eat. Because if the food comes from 1,500 miles away, if all of a sudden, if the valleys in California or the fields in Nebraska or whatever were being hit, I mean, everybody's got the breadbasket's experiencing difficulty. The world's experiencing difficulty. Now, the scripture that comes to mind to me is that when God begins to explain to Solomon, this is how things work, son. This is how it works. Everything's good right now, but let me tell you how it works. He said, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, he says, listen, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, this is God talking. Nothing's happened yet. It's like, why are you talking discipline? Let me tell you how things work. Let me tell you how things work now. So you can prevent this from happening. He says, but when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, God going, go devour the land. He's like, where did these loci come from, right?
Right.
And send a plague amongst my people. I think about the influenza that came through the world and came through America. As mysteriously as it came, it left. And hundreds of thousands, I believe 40 million in the earth, I believe, that died from that one mysterious one. He says, if this happens, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And so these things that we're seeing now, if we turn now, it could stop this. Like stopped it. And so we can respond now before these things come to pass. We'll be right back after this break. We're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, right. is there something... We prayed for a long time. You know, we pray
we would pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Sure, yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And let you put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and it's not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide. You hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about farming's on the decline, and we got to get back to a little word from Paul Harvey about the rest of the story. If you missed it, you got to catch it. Missions. I want to talk about missions for a moment. And it looks like pretty soon South Korea will surpass America in sending missions into the world, by the way.
Wow.
But statistics about what's taken place in regards to the population growth of the world and the growth of Christianity in the world, it's pretty interesting. I believe it's, according to most of this, comes from Pew Research Center and Barna Research and the Joshua Project, that the rate of the overall global population growth now is 1.2% a year in terms of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And 1.2% a year, period. But in terms of religion, Buddhism is growing at 1.3%. Hinduism is growing at 1.2%. Islam is growing at 1.9%, which they're above the population growth of the year.
Christianity is growing at 1.2%. The evangelical Christianity is growing at 2.6%. Isn't that great? I mean, evangelical Christianity is growing at a faster rate than the population is happening on the face of the earth. The world population is slightly over 7 billion people now. And of that number, approximately one-third are Christians, of course, of all kinds of Christians. In 1960, 3% of the world was comprised of evangelical Christians. Now, by 2012, that percentage has grown to 8%. So in the 60s was 3%. Now 8% of the is evangelicals. And evangelicals are growing at a healthier manner than all that at 2.6%, which is really, really cool.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, it really is. The downside of these figures is that 86% of Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and tribal groups do not even know one single Christian.
Wow. What percentage?
86%.
Not one.
Wow.
Don't know one Christian. And the number, that number amounts up to 41% of the world, or 2.8 billion, who have not heard of the gospel of Christ and who will not hear unless an outsider goes into that people group. Isn't that wild?
Amazing.
Wow.
And the sad thing, the state of Christianity in the United States is, here's some data that's comprised, that a great majority of Christians are biblically and theologically illiterate. They profess to be believers, but they know little of their faith they claim to have. Mm-hmm. Christianities are more ingrown and private, they report, and they are not interested in any kind of outreach.
Mm.
This is a change from the past years, they report. Many Christians, especially millennials, which are those born between 1983 and 2002, are more interested in social justice and social service than earlier generations. Christians have been more negatively affected by the secular movements towards tolerance, until many do not have strong standards of belief and behavior, such as they believe people have the right to do what they want to do without outside restrictions.
Hmm.
There does not seem to be much visible influence on the world by the teachings and practices of the Christian churches. Here are more statistics they talk about the Christian population in general. 75% of adults in the United States say they have been influenced negatively by the economy, and they do not anticipate an upswing in the near future. 84% of millennials say that they make no connection between the Bible and their lives. 84% of the population that was born between 1983 and 2002, this is what they say, 84% of them say that they make no connection between the Bible and their lives.
Wow.
You know, because sometimes, you know, you think about, because when you're delivering truth, you think, you know, it's like, no, we got to stick to what we got.
All right.
You know, we got to get to the red letters, and we got to, you know. And they also go, so to say, digital addiction is a new phenomenon that has been identified by psychiatrists. Teens and young adults average 60 hours a week engaged in some kind of media. And this is going to create, they say, some long-term effects. And Christians self-identify as not being committed. Only 20% claim that they consider themselves committed to their faith. And to me, based on the words of Jesus, is you have no faith if you're not committed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where, how we, you know, if we, I like, I can't tell you his name, so I can't tell you what it is right now, but understand this, that men only make moves when there's eternal consequences. And if you preach a gospel where there is no eternal consequences, a logical man says, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't make up eternal consequences. Just preach the red letters. Preach with the words of Jesus. Preach the gospels. And the power is in the taught word of God. And there are eternal consequences. And so when you start hearing statistics like that, Christians self-identify as not being committed. Only 20% claim to be even consider themselves committed to their faith. That means 20% are actually believers.
Yeah, it's like, you know, giving someone a Tylenol that doesn't have a headache. Like, well, thanks, I'll put that in my pocket.
Yeah, right, just in case I need to get out of hell free pill.
Yeah, just in case. But if you don't talk about, you know, a Tylenol only makes sense to the person who has the headache.
Right.
You know, but we're not sharing the headache. We're just saying, just try this and tuck this away in your pocket. Use gospel when necessary.
Right.
Does it work that way?
Right, and you think about that, that 2.8 billion people don't even haven't heard the gospel yet.
Wow.
And if you have a dumbed down church, which means lethargic, well, let's just go ahead and call them all Christians, that they're not going to hear the gospel. You know, 2.8 billion people aren't going to hear the gospel, not from America, but South Korea. South Koreans now are about to surpass America in sending more missionaries into the world. And God's been speaking to us about China for quite some time. And we're trying to get more clarity on that.
Well, this is going into another decade.
Clarity, God.
You know, I don't know if we're going to get to it today, but if we do the citizenship and Pat is close to self-deportation,
yeah,
it's possible.
Thanks to Chris.
It's possible that we can hook him up in you know, Hindu area or China. Or we, you know, we can
start. Well, China. Being... He's supposed to be either in Nepal or China.
Well, I think you're closer to it, John. I mean.
I'm going to support your ministry. I'm going to help.
Yeah,
you.
Right.
Thank you.
You know, we were just talking about these statistics, and there's an editor, Jennifer LeClaire, wrote a news editor for Charisma, wrote an article about Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke's words, basically a prophetic declaration that all of America shall be saved. He said this in Vero Beach in Florida, and Florida has been known as a forerunner state.
Okay, what's that? Back up again, because you already got my attention when you made the last statement.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't all connect when you said that.
Jennifer LeClaire is a news editor at Charisma, and she wrote an article. She wrote an article about a recent prophetic declaration that Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist that was called to the continent of Africa, made about the United States. And he said
when?
I don't have a date, but it was February 2013, sometime in February. And
all the nation itself, or the people in America?
Yes, the people that it didn't get.
Wow, it's exciting.
I think very exciting. And she said, took special note since in 9 years that he's been preaching the gospel in Africa. 55 million souls, people have given their lives to the Lord.
Wow.
She's saying this is a rapid, you know, evangelistic thrust. And many are believing for a third great awakening. We've been praying for a third great awakening. And so, but she goes into the article to say, she's going to say that many Americans are coming to the Lord, and they're realizing that they don't know the gospel. They don't know the true gospel. She says, why is this happening? What is being taught? And she goes on to say, we're interested in headcount, and she goes on to all the stuff. But she says, what are believers doing from Sunday after 1 o'clock to the next Sunday morning? What are they doing? Are we in the harvest fields? Are we in speaking to the people that don't know the Lord? Now we're sharing the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this Paul says that it's all about not eloquence of words, but it's a demonstration with the Spirit's power. It's all about the cross. If we come with eloquence of words, we're going to empty the cross of its power.
Right.
And very, very interesting. And I just know that our hope in America is going to be for a third great awakening. It's going to be for many people to come to the Lord. And so I just thought it was.
Well, that's what Reinhard did. Reinhard preaches the gospel. He preaches the gospel with power, and people get saved. And he is into getting them rightly related into a local church or beginning. And now he's actually doing church in the home. He's actually sitting in a home and talking over a dinner table with a family, helping people understand this can happen, and this is a way to do it. Because you're talking that kind of harvest, there's not enough buildings for that kind of harvest. You know, buildings are pretty much going to be training centers and sending centers, you know, for the church.
Well, the Lord showed him the same thing that Lord spoke to you about. You mentioned about stadiums. He's going to start to do stadium meetings in the United States. And so it's going to be a rapid just movement. It's going to be awesome.
I've seen those stadiums. It's so exciting what's going to happen. And so did the founder of God TV. I can't think of her name right, Alec. And it's just so exciting what's about to happen. Yeah. We've been preparing for this day. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.